This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. 10 play, that's a good thing. The way they started the game, not so much. This is an Indiana Basketball Instant Post Game with Kent Sterling for Saturday, December 4th, 2021, brought to you by the great people at MyBookie, mybookie.ag. Log on today, use the promo code Kent Sterling, get free stuff. How about that? Some bonus action. Nice. Indiana started slow. They start with a 16-6 deficit. Mike Woodson has enough. Puts in Tamar Bates. Puts in Anthony Leal. Kind of a surprise. Leal, I thought, was really, really good. Hit his only three. Made a couple of nice passes. Tamar Bates put the ball in the jar. You got to have offense at some point that involves, that culminates in something else than a turnover. Right? The turnovers continued to be a problem for Indiana today in the first half. You cannot start like this at Wisconsin this coming week and win games. You just can't. If Nebraska could hit threes, Indiana doesn't win this game 68-55. Indiana could have lost this game. Nebraska 22.7 from beyond the arc. That's below their season average. They came in, I think, at about 26%. They weren't very good from outside. Indiana, not bad defensively. But today, you know what? They were a little bit goofy. They didn't play like this. They kind of played like that. I saw a thing, and maybe I read too much into this kind of stuff. Like, Tamar Bates is doing really well. There's a timeout. He comes over, and Miller Kopp offers his hand, wants to slap his hand. Tamar Bates just stones him, absolutely ignores him. You don't want to read so much into that. It doesn't seem like today this team played real well together. And I don't really know why. Again, a 16-6 start. Cornhuskers came out hot. Indiana did not. Race Thompson, good today. No turnovers, first of all. That's better than anything else that he did. 11 points, 11 rebounds. Again, no turnovers. Trace Jackson Davis with another four turnovers. Xavier Johnson, guys just don't take good care of the ball. And if you don't take good care of the ball, you're going to have a problem. And if you don't take good care of the ball and a team comes out, plays a little zone, like Nebraska did in the second half, you got to shoot your first open shot. If you're Parker Stewart and you catch on the wing and you're open, I don't care if there are 25 seconds left on the shot clock. You need to tee that thing up. Because if you don't, you're going to work it around. And eventually, with every pass, the percentage likelihood that you're going to turn the thing over, it increases and increases and increases. And finally, you give the thing up. Again, defensively, pretty good. Nebraska, during the first half, they were 1 of 10 from 3. Indiana had a 26-20 lead at the half. So they finished the half on a 20-4 run. Really, really nice. But again, a lot of that was driven by Nebraska not being able to find the hole with both hands, right? That sounds dirty, but Nebraska couldn't. they couldn't shoot. And if you can't shoot, you can't win. And if you can't shoot, you're really not going to be able to shoot at Simon Scott Assembly Hall, and you're not going to win. So Indiana's going to go on the road, and they're going to play in Madison against a veteran Wisconsin team. And if they don't play smart, and if they don't play together, and if they don't take good care of the basketball, they are going to lose that game. You got to shoot when you're open, and you've got to knock down those shots. I like the way that Woodson used the bench and continues to use the bench with this exception. What was Jordan Geronimo doing on the floor late? Not a good foul shooter. What do you gain by having him on the floor? And Indiana had already salted it away. But if you're going to have him on the floor, you shouldn't have him touch the ball. Kind of like in Hoosiers with Scrap, right? Do not shoot unless you are under the basket by yourself. Jordan, do not touch the ball unless nobody else is around and you give it up really quickly. Don't put it on the deck and don't get it swiped and don't take a foul because you're not a good foul shooter. So don't do that. I thought Rob Phinisee played pretty well today. Rob Phinisee hit a three, had a nice kind of step-through runner. I dug it. Indiana, this was supposed to be a drama-free game, and for the most part it was. But they have got to figure out how to play smarter and how to play better together. If this is the team, and I don't think it will be, but if this is the team that we see in February, they are going to get their asses kicked by a whole bunch of teams in the Big Ten. They have got to get better, and they've got to start that process, needed to start it, you know, 3 weeks ago. But they've got to continue that process now, because if they don't, like I said, they're going to get beat. Because this is a team that doesn't play good fundamentals, doesn't play with good fundamentals on the offensive end. They just don't. Defensively, they're pretty good. Offensively, not so good. They don't take good care of the basketball, and you got to take good care of the basketball. On the plus side, they did knock down foul shots, 82% of their foul shots. They hit 40% overall from the field, 36% from beyond the arc, which is fine. I'll take that for Indiana. And then 82% of the line, I'll take that all season long. If they can hit 82%, I'm all in. Xavier Johnson is a really good foul shooter. That's a good thing. I watch his team, though, and I think freshmen are weird, right? Freshmen always think they're the best players on the floor. And it takes them a while to learn some humility. But like with Tamar Bates, I don't want him to learn humility. I want him to turn what I perceive as a little bit of arrogance into a whole lot of confidence. You know, there's a difference. He wants to win that starting spot, and he wants to take it away from Miller Kopp. That doesn't mean that you stone him when he offers a hand. I don't think you do that. And Miller Kopp's got to shoot the basketball successfully, or he's got no business being on the floor. He just can't stay on the floor unless he makes shots. And that's the way that works. One thing, and really good broadcast today. Really enjoyed it. Brandon gone, and you had Stephen Bardo. But Stephen Bardo said something that I took exception with. Stephen Bardo was talking about the Mark Turgeon deal and how Turgeon stepped down at Maryland and said that it's really his stepping down is illustrative of the pressures of big-time college coaching. And I don't understand why there's more pressure today than there would have been 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I don't get it. Because they're on TV? Because they're being held accountable on social media? Turgeon has made a whole lot of money coaching basketball, especially at Maryland, right? A lot of money, multiple millions of dollars a year that I'm sure he has taken good care of. Because coaches are always worried that they're going to be fired tomorrow, right? And so Turgeon has all this money. He's coaching 18 to 22-year-olds just like people did years and years and years ago. And the pressure got too big? Why? You got your money. Like, I always go back to golf, you know, and Lee Trevino said, yeah, making a putt to win a tournament, that's not pressure. You know, making a putt to win a $100 NASA with $20 in your pocket, that, win or lose, that $100 NASA, with 20 bucks in your pocket. That is pressure. You know, if Mark Turgeon feels pressure, he's got to do some meditation and understand the pressure's got no business in the life of a guy who's never going to have to work again and is tasked only with coaching 13 scholarship athletes to play basketball well together. I don't understand why everybody thinks everything's so important. You know, and I get it. And Indiana basketball is important to me, and it's important to you, or you wouldn't be watching. But if Indiana loses a game, we go on with our day. I go to the fashion mall and I go Christmas shopping, or we go and buy a Christmas tree this afternoon, or we visit family, or we go out with friends. I mean, it's not a day ruiner. It shouldn't ruin a day for anybody. Mike Woodson, you know, Dane Fife, Kenya Hunter, any of those guys. What are you doing? It's basketball. Throw the ball in the hole, be done with it. You miss, you miss. You make, you make. That a guy like Mark Turgeon would feel compelled to resign his position because the pressure is too great, that's mind-boggling. I mean, what are you doing? We've got cardiothoracic surgeons in the city of Indianapolis right now performing open-heart surgery, and if their hand slips, a patient dies. That's pressure. Ball's going in a hoop or not in a hoop. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, you try to take it seriously, and you do take it seriously, but at the end of the day, you go drink a glass of wine, enjoy a cigar outside the uptown whatever, and have a nice day. Right, what are we doing to ourselves, right? Indiana gets the win. That's a good thing. They're undefeated in Big Ten play, and I got a feeling, unless they really flip a switch, that isn't going to be true very long, because Wisconsin isn't going to play games up there, and Indiana's going to have to figure out how to play better basketball and play better together. And that is Mike Woodson's biggest challenge moving forward, is finding a way to get these guys not to pull apart, but pull together. Colts, tomorrow. Hey, by the way, if you like these instant post games, hit subscribe, hit the like button, ring the bell. We do them after every Indiana basketball game, after every Indianapolis Colts football game. Hopefully after the game tomorrow at about 4 o'clock, we're celebrating a Colts win, all brought to you by the great people at MyBookie. At MyBookie, you can bet anything, anywhere, anytime.